the home 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts.
What?
I'm not saying anything.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Okay, got it.
Yeah, nothing. I'm not going to say a thing. I'm just going to read the script. The script says Matthew Berry, Field Yates, and Stefania Bell.
That's the correct order.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Even there's a comment to Field.
I'm just saying. You're right. You're right. Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell. Stefania, how do you feel about being, placed behind Field Yates? You are a fantasy sports Hall of Famer.
That
is
not.
That is legit. Field is not. Field has won many awards from the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association. As has this podcast. But he is not in the Hall of Fame the way you are, Stefania. You've been at the company longer as well. Mm-hmm. Just curious, your thoughts about Daniel placing Field's name ahead of yours.
I'm good with my spot, Matthew. I know my role.
Wow. Okay.
Here's the difference between Stefania and most. There's a mentality, a mindset, and to me, like a way that reflects who you are as a person. Like when you're good,
I know where this is going.
People don't need to. You don't need to tell people that you're good, right?
Right.
The best know they're the best, right?
Yeah.
And Stefania's
I
got to
constantly
best.
Remind people.
I mean, that's, Stefania doesn't right. have to worry about where
no,
she
is
in the order of the script.
She is the goat.
We're doing the reverse. Beauty before age. We're doing
Fair.
The reverse, right? We're going.
Right.
Yeah. Opposite there.
Listen, so. Yeah. If you did beauty before age, it would be Stefania Field myself.
Yeah. Stefania Field Daniel yourself.
Fair.
Very good point
Fair.
There. Anyways.
Fair.
Should we do football?
Stefania Field Daniel, a couple of puppets. Couple. Right. That lint on the carpet.
This, right. this camera
this piece
over here.
Of paper. Camera three.
The fan over there.
Right.
It's a nice green colored fan.
Yeah.
It's a good
Kyle's
it's like a matte green.
Stat sheet. Right.
And then what?
Yeah. And then me.
Okay. Yeah.
And
just to
me.
Be clear.
And then eventually.
Football?
Me. Sure. Let's talk football.
Let's talk about Monday Night Football. Monday Night
yes.
Football. The Monday Night Football recap is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. So I don't know that anything up until like the last minute of this game truly mattered for fantasy football purposes
right.
in this regard. Because like if you had Deontay Johnson and you were down by 12 or 13 fantasy points, like him scoring 17.1 fantasy
Great.
Points is like cool. Like he's Deontay Johnson. That's right yeah. about his season average, right?
Right?
But the last minute of this game was wild. We'll get to that in just a bit. But it was an emotional night for Ben Roethlisberger, who had just 6.8 fantasy points. But this was really not about Ben Roethlisberger's fantasy production. It was about his last game at home as a Steeler and about the red zone. As he had, the prop was 2 passing touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger. He got just 1. Tough week for me in red zone, but we'll figure out whether I was good enough to win red zone on Sunday. But yeah, Ben, not such a great day.
Okay, well, I have a question about red zone, but I'll bring it up then.
What
a second.
Is it? Let me hear it. Just go
I
ahead.
Was going to interrupt. All right.
Well, my thoughts on Ben. He had a bad day. How's that?
Ben had a bad day.
I'm sure in life it was a great day, but like fantasy wise,
yeah,
bad day. Whatever.
Listen, goes
it
right.
Who was starting Ben other than 2 quarterback league? You weren't.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, you know what? Whatever. Ben's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. First ballot.
It's a first ballot Hall of Famer. A great career. Great fantasy career for Ben for many many years. We should do, he's got one more game to play at least. We should talk a little, Ben, at some point in terms of, his fantasy ranks over the years. But all I was going to say about red zone, I just had a question for Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
I just need your judgment on this one. You're usually a good judge of this.
Mm, sure.
So I'm down in red zone. Okay. So we'll see. The final calculations have not been tabulated. But it's not looking great that I'm going to win this year.
When you say it's not looking great.
It's not looking great.
It's mathematically impossible?
It's mathematically impossible.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
You are ruled
but
out.
But I have won red zone many years previously.
Sure. Okay.
I have like 4 belts. Okay. I think I have like 4 belts that I think I've won in the last 5, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so should I, is this bad form, Daniel? I just need to know this. If I on Sunday, Fantasy Football Now, if I just wear all four belts on my suit, you know what I mean? Like, just, and I just wear them. Like, is that like,
not bad?
Would that be funny, or does that take away from whoever eventually wins?
No, you want to know why? Because you wear all four belts to let them know that they're taking down the champion of champions. You be proud of what it is that you have won. Right. You don't feel bad about wearing those four belts. However, if you are mathematically eliminated, you will have to allow someone else to win this year. But like, wear all four of
someone
them.
Someone else is going to win this year. Yeah. Someone not named me will be the red zone champion this year on Fantasy
Until someone takes
now.
It away from you, you keep owning it.
Listen, Belichick and Brady didn't win every single year, right?
No.
Not every year.
Not every year.
They didn't win every year. So I'm just asking. I just want to know.
Four belts, you said?
I think at least four.
Maybe five?
It might be more.
Is it five?
Where are they at?
It's five. If he wears five belts, would it be representative of each of his red zone wins in the history of fantasy football now, or each of the Washington football team's wins this year?
Wow.
That might be too many.
Why has it got to be one or the other? Why can't it be both?
Okay, let's move
February 2nd, by the way, February 2nd, 2022, Washington football team announcing they will announce their new name, although
something positive to say.
I suspect the name will get leaked prior to that.
All right, so let's keep things moving forward.
Fantasy thing I was going to say prior to the last minute that I thought was confusing, and the Mannings brought this up repeatedly over the course
Nick
of
Chubb?
Their show, was the lack of usage for Nick Chubb. Really shocking, especially given no Kareem Hunt in this one, Stefania.
I was puzzled as well when Mike Clay put down what his stats were. I said it was puzzled. Jake Trotter, who covers the team for us, said that afterwards, Kevin Stefanski said Nick Chubb had a rib injury, and that explained his lack of usage. So interesting, because it wasn't announced at the time, and usually in the press box they get a sense of it, but there you are. That was the explanation.
Yeah, very surprising night for Nick Chubb, who manages just 5.8 fantasy points. But let's get to the last minute of the game, because this was fun, especially if he had something on the line. So a lot of people did have Najee Harris playing in their lineups, in their championship lineups. Najee Harris yesterday finished with 206 yards, three catches, and a touchdown. But with a minute to go, he had like 175 yards with no touchdowns. The Steelers were up. At this point, they were up, it was, 19-14. With 50 seconds to go in the game. It was a 3rd and 2. The Browns had no timeouts left. The Steelers decided to go for it. They could have kicked a field goal to go up by 8. They could have punted it to try to pin Cleveland deep. But they decided instead to go for it on 4th down. No issue. This was 3rd down still. So Najee Harris runs. And this is the Browns ran like what looked like a run blitz, which is like basically you're selling out. You either stop him behind the line of scrimmage, or he's going to run for potentially a touchdown. The touchdown opportunity presented itself. If Najee Harris wanted to, he could have just gotten past the 1st down marker, maybe ran to like the Cleveland 5-yard line, killed a couple extra seconds, and fallen to the ground, taken a knee, and the game is over right there.
Yes.
Overdone.
Reminiscent of
Jonathan
Todd
Taylor.
Gurley.
Okay.
I guess Jonathan Taylor, but I was going to say, just in fantasy playoffs, like the most famous, of course, of all time is Brian Westbrook doing that, but Maurice Jones-Drew has done that. Todd Gurley has done that over the years in terms of taking a knee. And I was watching the Manning cast, and as he was doing that run, literally you heard Peyton and Eli saying, go down. Like they're calling the play live, and their instincts were go down, like, you know, go out of bounds at the one, and then you just take a knee and the game's over.
Right. And obviously it would have taken a miracle for Cleveland to come back, but the only thing better than a miracle is a certainty, right?
Right.
So anyways, he scores a touchdown, and that probably swung a bunch of fantasy championships. That's an extra 6.1 points at minimum for Najee, depending on where he would have gone down. A huge momentum swing for Najee Harris. And so, you better believe that I spent a bunch of time this morning looking around the various social media platforms for people whose games were swung by a Najee Harris touchdown. And as if that wasn't enough, Matthew, he scores. The Browns get the ball back, and Baker Mayfield was definitely in lineups for two quarterback leagues. But the more pertinent part of this is the Steelers defense is certainly a defense that was being started last night against the Browns, right?
Against Baker, yeah.
So
of course.
Baker Mayfield, who last night became the only player in the NFL this year with 10 incompletions in a row in a single game, at the end of the game was picked off with 10 seconds to go. Two extra points for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. That swung championships too.
Shout out to my college roommate, longtime one of my best friends, Chris Lindsay, who texted me That garbage time Steelers interception just won me a championship. Guy he was playing was starting Baker Mayfield, two quarterback league, starting Baker Mayfield, and Chris had the Pittsburgh defense.
Amazing.
And so literally that 4-point swing, 2 points for the Steelers defense, minus two for Baker, won my college roommate his championship in one of the leagues he's in. Him and I co-manage a team as well. And then I don't know if you saw this. I thought this was unbelievable. You know, every week I put out my Monday Night Miracle. What do you need? I always ask, what do you need? Hashtag Monday Night Miracle.
Mine almost came true last night.
Go ahead. Tell them what yours was.
I needed minus 7.8 from Nick Chubb to finish in seventh place in the consolation bracket of my big money league. I almost did. I came in eighth. Eighth in the consolation bracket, to be clear. Not in the overall bracket. So eighth in the consolation side, which I think there's more glory in that than winning the whole thing. Like, if you ask me, it's harder to have a team like that.
So it's amazing. This one was crazy. So I put it out there, and everyone, you get a ton of response every single, I've been doing it for years, this hashtag Monday Night Miracle. And so a guy named Thomas Garverick, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Garverick, Thomas Garverick, says, I need Nick Chubb to score less than 6.24 points for a title,
okay,
but also score 4.93 points in another to win that title. We needed Nick Chubb somehow to score between over 4.93 to win one, but under 6.24 to win another. Chubb finishes with 5.8 fantasy points, 58 rushing yards, no receptions, 5.8 points, and Thomas ends up winning both.
That's incredible.
That is a true Monday Night Miracle. That's why you put it out into the universe.
That's
unbelievable. The odds of Nick Chubb scoring that few points, and oh, by the way, scoring between that narrow, unbelievable. Yeah. Shout out to Thomas.
Wow, that is amazing. And by the way, I know that you have started tweeting that at some point. I've noticed like a lot of other places are tweeting, what do you need for a Monday Night Miracle these days? Have you noticed that or no?
I have.
Okay, interesting. Caught my attention. Did it catch yours?
It has. Like, here's...
I love it.
I believe I started that. I don't believe it.
Right.
When I started doing it, I've been doing it for years.
Right.
I don't believe anyone else had done that, had phrased it that way.
Right.
Monday Night Miracle, hashtag Monday Night Miracle. That was
like 6 years ago. I made mention of it in my prefer dispreferred column. but I don't know. Maybe it was you.
No,
it was you. It's just so lame, people. I'm like, is there not one other thing you can think of? Like, can't you just say like, hey, I need a Hail Mary on Monday. Is that so hard to think of?
Right. Or
like,
Hail Mary Monday.
Monday. I need a long shot Monday. I need a surprise. I need fantasy karma to be on my side. Instead, Monday Night Miracle. Like, come on.
You know what? You know what it is?
Sign of respect.
Imitation is the biggest form of flattery.
Yeah, exactly. I just sort of take it like that. I appreciate you bringing that up and mentioning it. It always drives me crazy when I see people steal my stuff, when I see people take reporting field that you have done or Schefter or anyone at ESPN, and then 10 minutes later they're like, I'm reporting this. I'm like, no, you had Field's tweet pop up and setting as per Field Yates, whatever. So it happens a lot. And the number of things that have been ripped off from me over the years in fantasy football is what a testament to how long I've been doing it. But also just, it is what it is. I agree with you, Stefania. It is a form of flattery. And, it is frustrating, but it's also one of those things that's like,
we've all been there.
We've all been there. And you just try to, hopefully people recognize that. And I think if you are a creative person, if you are a content creator in any way, that you keep moving forward, that you keep trying to create new things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get on my soapbox here. We'll move on. But I'll say this. Like, when we started the puppet show, Daniel, when we started the puppet show, people, like, there's one specific fantasy show that was just like, would make fun of the puppets. Like, that would literally, like, actively, like, just talk about, like, oh, like, well, we don't need puppets. Or, like, they would make these sly little jokes on air, right? Cut to a year and a half later, they're doing sketches, they're dressing up in costumes, they're doing all these different things. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I used to get, back when I wrote on Roto World, I would write all these pop culture things. And I was literally told by the site's management at that time, like, stop, being snarky about players, stop making these little jokes. Cut to, by the way, every single one of their player notes now has like a snarky little comment, right? I mean, like, it's just a, whatever. It's,
I will say this. I'll say two things. First of all, our friends at Rotoworld, not because they're all great guys, are hilarious with some of their blurbs. Danny, you know I'm talking about you and Rotopad as well, amongst the many talented people there.
And by the way, just to be clear on that.
This is way before then. Listen, those guys were in the womb when you worked in a Rotoworld. Yeah.
Danny Carter, you know, Pat Doherty, friends of mine, like them, fans of them.
Love
them. Absolutely not trying to call them out. I'm friends with a lot of the guys at the former Rotoworld that's no longer called that. But I have no issues with any of the current management or this is all just whatever. This is water under the bridge, people. And whatever. My point is, it's just whatever.
I have one question. And this might be better directed towards Daniel, but does the show that Matthew is referencing allow their talent to spray ketchup on the nipples of the producer or no?
No.
Okay, so you still got that going for you. All right, so you have that going for you.
My lane is pretty well. I think it's pretty safe. Not a lot of people want to live in my lane.
You are a unicorn. You are a unicorn. You are Jonathan Taylor, a fantasy football producer.
But you know what? What's a unicorn without someone to ride him? And that's my Matthew Berry.
There you go. Oh, wow.
Well, I just mean like Matthew and I come in and do the show together, right? Like he's like I'm his trusty steed and he's my cowboy that I just can't quit.
God, you make me I'm kill me. All right, let's keep moving.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Look, well done.
Daniel, one thing I would say, and you can speak to this as a producer who came on to this show later, like we did a number of years with Pod Vader, with Nate and Stefania, the old crew, like that. I do feel like also this podcast has been heavily influential in the podcast space. When I listen to a bunch of other fantasy podcasts, not all of them, there are some that are very original, but there's definitely a lot of podcasts that I hear. I'm like, okay, you know,
that's very flattering that, and this is the thing, like we are all, I love so many people in this industry and it's such a great place to be. And the community is so fun. It's tough because not everything comes, you know, you just want to be thankful for the fun things that you're able to do. And obviously that makes other people want to do fun things. You inspire other people and that's where it comes from.
Because ultimately we're all looking at the same kind of players, same kind of stats, and analysis is going to be analysis. So it's just when you're a content creator, it's just about how do you present that content
and
how
do
you, what's your unique angle on that? And so when you spend time, and you'd be amazed at how much time I spend making all my half-assed looking content. in all seriousness, like there's a very, like it takes a long time to write as poorly as I do to make it look like it does.
You know, I'm a very good writer.
But like we specifically try to go low. Like the fantasy show is a very specific point of view. This podcast is a very specific vibe. My comma is a very specific vibe. And I try to make them all different. And I spend a lot of time thinking about how to do that. And so in terms of presenting that content and trying to be original and different while still providing good fantasy advice, and it is frustrating when you see people being lazy and taking a shortcut and just stealing, you know, blatantly from you. It gets frustrating. There's one site in particular that is the absolute worst. That doesn't just steal from ESPN and me. They steal from everyone in the industry and whatever, the people that know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. So let's do this. Part of what makes you so unique in so many ways, and I can go on for 10 minutes, is that you have survived all these years. But more important than your survival over all the years is somebody's survival in this year's Guillotine League, Survivor League, Daniel. So tell me more. Have we reached the end of the regular season? Who is the winner of the Survivor League? Drum roll, please. We don't literally have one, so I'll pretend there is one. Daniel, take it away.
Survivor League went weeks 15, 16, and 17, and the one victorious person.
There were four final teams of those of that time. There were four final teams, and the rule was once we got to week 14, the final four teams would not be eliminated once a week. Those final four teams would have their total points counted over those 3 weeks.
Correct. And the four finalists were our very own Stefania Bell.
Okay.
Damian Dabrowski, who is the original Statter Pillar on the fantasy show.
Yeah, and he's a producer on the fantasy show.
And Dennis Reno, who is a producer on the fantasy show,
and Daily Wager,
and then Seth Walder,
from ESPN Stats and Information.
Yeah,
does a great job. Smart. A super smart, Mr. Next Gen Stats.
ESPN Analytics. Yes, Daniel, go ahead. Who wins?
The winner of the 2021 Fantasy Focused Survivor League is Stefania Bell.
Yeah! Let's go!
I won something this year.
Let's go, Stefania!
Stefania
First time playing in a Survivor League. I loved it.
You're undefeated.
I never lost.
Wow. And Matthew brought it to us because he kept telling us how much fun it was to play in the Survivor League. Yeah. And he's like, let's do it. So we got all of us from the show and people affiliated with the show to join in. And how much fun was it? It was fun. Great. I mean, aside from winning, which is really fun. It was fun every week with like the little thing. We played the Taps music. The team, lived from week one to week three. I mean, it was funny. Yeah. It was so good. Well, and it was fun just to watch the points record.
Thank you guys. It was nerve-wracking too
because
it is a sweat like
Damian Dabrowski had a really good team.
Yes, he did.
Was ahead of me by 40 points after week 15, and I picked up some players and passed it.
Stefania, would you like to shout out anybody in particular that came through in the clutch for you in week 17?
Gosh, I have to go back and look at my group and see who it was. I mean, because you switch players so often.
Right.
So, in essence,
it becomes a four-team league at that point. So they're all superstars. So it actually becomes tough because you're picking among, you're literally like, should I start Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson? Not Lamar Jackson, but it's a little like Mahomes, Kyler Murray, or
Joe Burrow. Yeah, totally.
Right? I mean, it becomes a four-team league.
What was funny in that league was some of the best players ended up not being the most useful. Because Patrick Mahomes, remember, he kept getting picked up every time somebody dropped out, and then that team would lose. I can't find it.
So while you're looking that up, Stefania, I'll just say this real quickly. You outlasted 17 other teams. We started as an 18-team league, so congratulations there. We got a lot of emails and tweets and DMs asking how you can play this on ESPN. You absolutely can. There's a little bit of... there's a little bit of jerry rigging that has to go on.
Agreed.
And we will explain that next year. But it's a format that's really, really fun to play. And you can. What's great about it is you can start it at any time. The way ESPN's League Manager product is set up, you could have a draft in week 5. You can have a draft in week 7. You can set it up at any point during the season. So it's a really fun kind of way. All you need is basically one extra manager for whatever week you're in. So, like, again, because it's a, We went through 17 weeks. We started with 18 managers.
Let me give you my lineup for the final.
Yep.
Justin Herbert, Dalvin Cook, Devin Singletary.
I've heard of all these
guys. Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro. Ooh. Wow. Yeah, remember you guys helped me with that. I was on the fence. Travis Kelce, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's right.
One of my sleepers I picked at the start of the year. Love that kid. And Sony Michel, who, if you had told me Sony Michel would be in a winning lineup in week 1 or 2, I wouldn't have believed you. But because of the situation in Los Angeles, he was fire.
Gosh. Well done by Stefania. Congratulations to you. Obviously, Stefania, a legend in so many ways. You can now put undefeated in Survivor Leagues to that list. Yes. You can add that on the list of the ways in which Stefania is legendary.
For many accomplishments.
In all seriousness, I love playing new formats. And because of Matthew and coming to ESPN many moons ago, I had played, I hadn't done auction leagues till I got here. I hadn't done, Dynasty League, which I'm, we won't talk about my record in that. I'm clearly still learning. Hadn't done Survivor League. So it keeps building on all the different ways you can do fantasy.
Huge multiplayer Superflex tournaments like Scott Fishbowl, where, Stefania, you were one of the top 10 teams throughout the regular season. You had an unbelievable year in Scott
COVID
Fishbowl.
COVID caught up with my team for the finals.
And I want to give a shout out, Matthew. We call them Survivor Leagues here at ESPN, but they originally started with Paul, correct? Is that right?
I don't know if Paul Charchian invented them, candidly. I don't know who did invent them, but I do know that our friend Paul Charchian does run a company called Guillotine Leagues as well. So shout out to our friend Charch, who is one of the legends of the fantasy football industry. We love Charch here. And so that's a company that he runs as well. And so that's his big thing right now, is doing versions of this game as well.
All right, let's move forward here to a topic that is a little bit forward thinking, because we understand that some people do play through week 18 on ESPN.com. As a matter of fact, those are the default settings. So many of you will be playing into week 18. But for those of you that are still listening, even though you lost in your finals or prior to that, we appreciate you. And for those that only played through week 17, we're going to look ahead as well. So the premise is pretty simple. We're going to name a player we will be higher on than most in 2022. And to be honest with you, when I made my selection, I thought the criteria was just a player that I will be higher on in 2022, as in like relative to where he is now. Higher than most, changes things a little bit. But Matthew, I'll let you have the floor first. Who is a player that when you think about his 2022 outlook, you're saying, I'm going to be extremely bullish on this player?
Elijah Moore of your New York Fighting Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody that came into the season with a lot of preseason buzz and then injured, a lot of different quarterbacks in and out. It's been an up and down year, to say the least, for the New York Jets. Give them a couple of things, though. First off, the fact they had to start four different quarterbacks this year. They are depleted talent-wise, but they kept fighting. They have kept fighting. So credit to Coach Saleh and the entire Jets staff, right?
Yep.
And Joe Douglas as well. Field, you and I talked after the NFL draft last April that we thought the Jets had one of the best drafts. Then I think they've had some nice success there. But Elijah Moore had, in the five games prior to that quad injury, was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver in three of them, five touchdown catches in his last five games. He had six more targets in each of his past seven games. Be interesting to see if Jameson Crowder comes back next year.
He's a free agent. So
he's a free agent.
I
think
it's unlikely.
Highly unlikely. Yes. I agree with you. My expectation here is I think it's going to be Corey Davis and Elijah Moore. Moore showed real nice versatility, playing both inside and outside. Be interesting to see what they think they have in Braxton Berrios as well, who obviously had the nice game.
It's been great. Hunting up Berrios.
Berrios has been great. So do they go in next year with Corey Davis on one side, Moore on the other, and Berrios in the slot? Be interesting to see. But Zach Wilson, still very, very young. But Elijah Moore, ultimately talent finds a way. The kid's insanely talented. Second year in the league for the entire offense, basically, you know, Zach Wilson getting that offense up to speed. Yeah, Elijah Moore will be a popular sleeper this year. I'm not going to be alone in that one, but I do think I will be higher than the consensus on him.
I'll go with the chalk here. I think it's going to be the name is considered like perhaps the breakout candidate in fantasy, at least amongst running backs, such as Javonte Williams for the Denver Broncos. A couple of factors here that are in play. Let's start with the obvious one. He's really talented, right? I mean, he had four top 10 finishes this season. He got his first start in a game against Kansas City, the only time that those two teams have played thus far this year. He turns it into the best running back output of the week. He was RB1 on the week when he got his opportunity to shine. Really good as a pass catcher, really good as a runner as well. He breaks tackles all the time. For those that watch the incredible angry run segment by our friend Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football, one of the best things you'll see every single week, Javonte is featured there quite frequently, or at the very least nominated by loyal Broncos fans. This guy is an absolute terror with the football in his hands. And obviously, Melvin Gordon's a free agent after this season. So Melvin Gordon's status with the Broncos is to be determined. You would think that Melvin would be motivated to try to find a spot where he could have the job to himself. At the stage of his career where has proven enough that he can still be a capable back, but probably doesn't have, you know, five or eight more really great years in him. We shall see there. But Javonte Williams, really talented guy. The offensive line in Denver is good enough. If they could just stabilize their quarterback, and that might be the part that really unlocks this, is that, as we all know, the Broncos have great wide receivers. They've got very skilled tight ends. If they could just find a quarterback upgrade, they could take this offense to another level, right, where they could be in the red zone more frequently and set up cheap touchdowns for everybody, which might result in a few more for Javonte Williams. Those would benefit him as well. Stefania, I'm entirely stunned by your pick. Who are you taking?
I am taking Trey Lance. And look, he had only played a game and a half or so with a couple other packages mixed in before he made his start in week 17, stepped in for the injured Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan had talked about the progress he'd seen from Trey Lance in practice as he was working, rotating in some with the starters, but working with the second team. Here's the thing. Trey Lance will bring you points with his legs. We saw him in this last game, I think it was eight carries for 31 yards. He also, what I saw in this last game that I really liked from him was that he evolved as the game went on. Maybe a little bit of the anxiety when it was only his second career start, and there was this huge gap of time between when he made his first start and when he made his second, but he seemed to settle in as the game went on. And look, you pair him up with receivers who provide yards after the catch between Deebo Samuel and George Kittle as pass catchers, and Brandon Ayuk is starting to look like that kind of guy too. You're going to get fantasy points from Trey Lance, not necessarily with the vertical threat, but he also can present the vertical threat because he's got a big arm and he can throw the ball down the field. And you just, I really loved what I saw as the game went on and he settled in. And you saw, I think, what the 49ers had a glimmer of when they drafted him. So we don't know if he's going to start this week because Jimmy Garoppolo will start if he's healthy enough to start. And that's not a debate for the moment. But you will, I believe, be seeing Trey Lance out of the gate starting next season.
Will be really interesting to see what the 49ers do with Jimmy G because he has one more year left on his contract. I thought he played well enough this year that he's going to merit consideration as one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL and be a starter somewhere. I just don't know if someone's willing to trade for him at a price tag of $25 million on just one year. If you're getting traded, it's probably with an extension in hand. Maybe I know, like, I'm not trying to dispel Stefania's excitement because I actually believe everything she said and feel equally excited about Trey Lance. But, like, I wonder if the San Francisco is like, you know, like Jimmy G helped us win a lot of games this year. Yeah. Like, why are we trading him? Like, maybe we want to ride it out for one more season.
They're in the same spot they were, honestly, when they drafted him this preseason, which is, hey, like, do we think we're good enough to win a Super Bowl? Do we think we're good enough to compete for a Super Bowl? And if we do think that, and I think they think that.
I do, yeah.
So is Trey Lance going to be seasoned enough to lead us there? This is a kid who played one college game last year, who played, you know, parts of three games this year, I think.
Yeah, that's
right?
Correct,
You're right. And so, you know, he's played four games over the last 2 years with mixed results, I think is fair to say. Right. You know, you see why people are excited about him, but you also see some mistakes. You're like, yep, that's a rookie. And so is that a kid that can lead us to the Super Bowl, or are we better off with somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo, who's more experienced, especially because we think we're going to win on defense and running the ball? I don't know. So I think they're in the same situation as they are last year. To your point about Garoppolo, I would say, again, and this is your lane much better than mine, but I feel like if Jimmy Garoppolo were a free agent, given how many needy quarterback teams there are like 10 to 12 teams that desperately need a quarterback.
Sure.
And Garoppolo, I think, gets a deal in the $25 million a year range. He would, I mean, again,
maybe, yeah.
I mean, like, it would be, you know, there'd be a signing bonus and it's amortized over, and, you know, probably there's some voidable years at the end of the contract. But, like, the market is so crazy and teams are so desperate, somebody's going to be willing to overpay. And so could the 49ers, who gave up picks, you know, to move up for Trey Lance, who could use more picks, do they say, what's the market for Garoppolo? Even if they eat a little bit of that salary. Yeah. I don't know.
You're really interesting.
It's a really, John Lynch and crew have a lot of decisions to make.
I will trade Stefania Jared Goff for Jimmy Garoppolo straight up. We'll eat that $5 million in cap space, a $20 million contract. Do you have a backup quarterback for Trey Lance? And then we'll take Jimmy Garoppolo for 1 year until we get
the Jared Goff played in the Bay Area for his college ball, right?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
All I got to be honest with you.
You like Jared Goff.
I'm not.
No, I know what you're saying. I agree.
I think Jared Goff gets unfairly maligned.
Totally.
I honestly do. And there's a reason this guy was drafted very, very high. I think that I thought he played gutty this year in Detroit. Is he a perfect quarterback? No. Is he amazing? No. But honestly, like, you see what Stafford, who's supposed to be this massive upgrade over Jared Goff, did in the Rams offense. Like, Matthew Stafford had some really boneheaded plays this year for the Rams. And is that the offense? I think Jared Goff is unfairly maligned. Like, as a young player, he was literally a yard and a half away from a Super Bowl victory over the New England Patriots. That, if that pass is a yard shorter hitting Brandon Cooks, they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You know the play I'm talking about.
Jason McCourty in the end zone, you mean? When, like, Jason McCourty came out of nowhere and swatted it out of the way?
There was that one, but there was also a deep play in that Super Bowl that he just overthrew Cooks by like a yard and a half.
I think it was underthrew him, right?
Underthrew him.
I don't know. Whatever. It was a close game that they could have won the Super Bowl. Cooks was wide open.
He missed him, whatever, by a yard and a half. And that's a throw you got to make in a big time play. I'm just, whatever.
I want
to go back to just, one thing. I'm going to pull it off you and go back a little bit.
Because I've been thinking about this
when you were like talking about the 49ers being in the same situation as last year. They're not in the same situation because they've seen Trey Lance. They've seen him play professional football and they've seen him evolve from what he was in training camp to now.
But maybe.
All right, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm not done with you. Because going into the season, you argued with me about Trey Lance taking over for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
I said, no, you weren't. Because Jimmy Garoppolo was the starter all season, which is what I said was going to happen.
I wasn't listening.
Hold the tape. I said they were going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo and give Trey Lance the time to mature because they felt he needed that. They were saying that in training camp. And I think it's worked out very, very well. Kyle Shanahan really likes Jimmy Garoppolo. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And he has done well by the 49ers for the most part, you know.
I just think
he's a valuable asset who is not part of their future. And so it's just like...
Right.
Anyway,
but I'm just saying they're not in exactly the same situation because now there's more material.
Right. I think the crux of it for me, and we can move on after this, is just that...
Promise?
I hope.
Okay. Listen,
right now,
I don't get
the 49ers view Jimmy Garoppolo as the superior option to start at quarterback when he is healthy. What's going to change between now and March when if you're going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo,
thank you.
That's likely what's going to happen. That's the part that I think it makes us really fascinating. So the good news is we're going to have more content than ever this offseason in the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast right here on the live streams, also on audio, a ton of stuff this offseason, and we'll have all sorts of landscapes, talk about those kind of conversations and so much more.
Where does Russ land? Does Aaron Rodgers go somewhere?
Right.
Is Deshaun Watson playing next year?
All
and
kinds
who?
Of conversations.
And
tons
then, by the way, when those players leave those teams, what do those teams do?
Yep,
and
Baker Mayfield's an interesting story this offseason.
Yes, sir.
Darnold. There's all kinds of quarterback storylines. But let's get to Daniel's pick for a player he's going to be more optimistic on than most in 2022.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jalen Waddle
here.
One of the reasons why, okay? 10 games with 8+ targets. As a rookie, you love to see that kind of target share. Obviously, Will Fuller was hurt for basically the entire season. Devontae Parker dealt with a lot of injuries. But he's somebody that you know that Tua... feels comfortable with and would find. 8 top 20 finishes so far this year. Again, as a rookie, 8 top 20 finishes as a rookie
very
at the wide receiver position is amazing. And with that, with those 8 top 20 finishes, only one game over 100 receiving yards. I am telling you that's going to go up next year. He's only going to get better. He's only going to find more explosive plays. I freaking love Jalen Waddle, and what he did this year I think is great. We haven't even seen him unlock what Jalen Waddle is going to be yet in the NFL.
Well, I think some of that's on the Dolphins because the problem is that they can't protect. They can't protect Tua at all.
Yeah.
And if you can't protect a quarterback, you can't have a guy who runs as fast as Jalen Waddle does go down the field frequently because you're going to get sacked before that play even develops. I say this affectionately right now. Jalen Waddle is a rookie. Is what Jarvis Landry was at his apex or near his apex with the Dolphins as well,
sure.
Right? I mean, he is 105 catches for Jalen Waddle. Jarvis Landry used to cruise past 100 catches every single year, less than 10 yards per catch, a handful of touchdowns per year. Like, that's the kind of year he's having. And I say that, I mean that as a compliment.
Sure.
Fantasy rock star.
Right, and the weird part here is that I actually think, and I know you don't mean it this way, but I actually think in some weird way you're actually doing a disservice to Jalen Waddle just in the sense that, like, Jalen Waddle has a speed level, a burst that Jarvis Landry's never had.
Yeah. No, I'm saying in terms of like the big output,
yes,
though, right? Like, he's also averaging less than 10 yards per catch.
Sure.
So I think it's on Miami to improve the offensive line. And, you know, we were just talking about quarterback storylines. The one that will not go away is the possibility of Miami trading for Deshaun Watson until Deshaun Watson is traded to some other team.
Right.
Which is not going to go away.
Yeah.
I will say this, Field. I don't know if you've done a mental inventory yet. I think Jalen Waddle might be your call of the year. In the preseason, when Jalen Waddle was being drafted outside the top 50 of wide receivers, like literally wide receiver 55, you were kind of pounding the drum for him. You were beating the book, as it were. You were just saying, like, this is one of my guys. I'm just telling you, this kid is so explosive, this guy. And his season didn't end up the way you thought he did. They used him in a different way than I think we thought based on his college tape. But the fact of the matter is that if anyone used a late-round flyer on Jalen Waddle the way you recommended throughout the preseason, they were very, very happy with the results.
A flyer on a guy that gave you 99 catches for 988 yards and 5 touchdowns, including a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, he wasn't even being drafted in ESPN's standard leagues. And I know you were high on him literally from the moment he got drafted.
So the future is bright for both Jalen Waddle and Trey Lance and also Javonte Williams and also Elijah Moore. Let's get to our awards rundown. And Daniel, I'm going to let you kind of steer the ship here a little bit because on Monday... Monday, like 6 days from right now. We're going to do something we've done over the past few years, which is an award show. We're going to hand out a bunch of arbitrary awards, but some call these the most prestigious awards
Correct.
That these players will ever receive. I know Patrick Mahomes got a tattoo of his award a couple of years back.
It's accurate.
I believe Travis Kelce decided to give back his Lombardi trophy to the Chiefs, let them display it somewhere in the facility because he wanted to make room for his Fantasy Focus Award. Yep. And I think Tom Brady, in the upcoming edition of Man in the Arena, yes. the new episode, says, of all the highlights in my life, winning 7 Super Bowls is cool. Winning a Fantasy Focus Fantasy Award is cooler.
Hey, which NFL player actually joined us to win their award in person? Do you remember?
I sure do. You want to name that player? Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard.
Yeah, at the time with the Chicago Bears, he was great. Super kind. That was in Houston. Super Bowl. Yeah, I miss those on the road trips. You know that?
Yeah, I know.
Maybe next year. I mean, I say that. I hope. We'll see.
I hope.
All right.
We'll see.
All right, so guys, here's what we have.
We're sick of looking at each other.
You speak for yourself. Okay. Daniel all day.
I'm sick of looking at all of you. Here's I want to see our fans.
Here's what we have for our awards rundown. We got 10 different awards that we're going to run through. What we feel like are some of the best players or best awards that we can give out to kind of exemplify. Is exemplify a word?
Sure. Yeah,
exemplify sure. the fantasy season. We're going to start here.
Why'd you look at Stefania, not me? Well,
a great question, Matt. This is the first award is One Week Wonder. It's a week of production that seemingly came out of nowhere, but that does not mean it has to be a one-hit wonder. That guy could still have an awesome season afterwards. It's just that 1 week came out of nowhere and we weren't expecting it.
And the nominees are as follows. Tyler Huntley for the Ravens, who in week 15 had 35.
Well, not nominees. These are not the right. I mean, I think what we're doing
Matthew wants to be able to discuss these and then give out the official nominees tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I want input from our audience. I want input from the fantasy folks. Well, you can tweet at Fantasy Focus, or if you're in the chat right now, if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter, whatever, wherever we're live streaming it, throw out some suggestions here. Like I'll give you one that wasn't listed on the graphic there. Justin Jackson, monster year, monster awful. Week in week 16.
Awful choice.
It, you know, 34.2 fantasy points.
Nope.
Filling in for Austin Eckler against the Texans. I'll give you another one that didn't even come up. What about week 15 and Gabe Davis had that monster game for them. Emmanuel Sanders was out. Cole Beasley was out.
I think that's why he doesn't count. I think for both of those reasons, that's why they don't count for 1 week wonders, because they were like Austin Eckler was ranked as a top 10 running back that week. Justin Jackson. So it's like, it's not a 1 week wonder. If it's Eckler's going to be out, guys. So we expect a lot from Justin Jackson.
Isaiah That's McKenzie not a couple weeks ago when he had 11 catches, 127 yards and a touchdown.
Christian Wilkinson from the Patriots.
This past week.
Two touchdowns.
It's Wilkerson, right?
Wilkerson. I don't know. You're the Patriots guy. You tell me.
Christian Wilkerson. Yeah.
Christian Wilkerson. Sorry.
Yeah. 4 for 47, two touchdowns. Yeah, but yeah, that's definitely in there. Yeah, that's out of nowhere. But then again, he hasn't played yet this week. So maybe he goes back to back. Maybe he has three. That would be a real 2 week wonder.
I mean, like, it depends on how we're defining it. Like, I mean, just like,
it's a production that seemingly came out of nowhere. Justin Jackson didn't come out of nowhere because he was ranked as a top 10 running back. Okay. Gabe Davis knew that Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders was out. He was the number two pass catcher there.
He didn't expect whatever it was, 75 yards and two touchdowns or whatever it is he got. He had like 25 fantasy points.
So what's the call to action then? Do you want people to tweet at us right now their nominee, their picks for what should be the nominees?
I think
you're asking for?
Yes, I believe that's what we are asking.
You can tweet either at Fantasy Focus. You can tweet at Stefania_ESPN, at Daniel Dopp, at Field Yates, or at Halsey to find Matthew.
Right.
Here's a couple other names that we have listed on there. Tyler Huntley, week 15, 35.9 fantasy points.
He was a starting quarterback, though. This is what I don't get about this guy.
Where'd you have him ranked, Matthew?
I understand, but like you're like, he was a starting quarterback for a good offense, and you're like, it came out of nowhere. Like,
hey, that one came out of nowhere.
We didn't expect him to lead the NFL in fantasy points that week.
Right.
But we expected him to like play, you know what I mean? Like,
did you expect more or less out of Justin Jackson when he was taking over for Austin Eckler? Like, are you saying that's the same argument?
Sort of. Like, I mean, we expected running back is there's such a lack of depth of the position versus quarterback. I think Justin Jackson probably had higher expectations because there's just less people.
Yes.
You know, that Houston. We thought he would get a decent amount of work, but do we think he was going to get that? I mean, like,
all right.
I would argue the first week of Rashad Penny. Like, but it has to only be 1 week. In the,
honestly, okay, so here's the thing. The fact that Jared Patterson found the end zone last week after the way the Washington's been playing offense recently, that has to be up there for most unexpected
long
performances.
Long shot, by the way. He was a long
shot. That was a good one. Yeah, you had a great
some
week.
Of my long shots. What about Josh Palmer?
You 2 weeks ago. You crushed, we talked about this on the show on Sunday. You crushed it with long shots this year. No surprise. All right, let's just keep it moving. Let's a little bit less bickering.
I'll throw one more out. Like, here's a question for you. Braxton Berrios.
No.
Hunting up Berrios.
Tell me why. Like, for what is it that those players have done more, that is more than 25 or 30 fantasy? Like, how
Braxton
is that?
Braxton Berrios had a monster game this past week.
How many points was it? Let's look it up.
I think he was wide receiver 3 this past week.
I mean, he had 2 touchdowns, Braxton Berrios.
I know. There's a lot of people that have had 2 touchdowns. Donovan Peoples-Jones had 3 for 97 and 2 touchdowns. Like, that could be one of those things. But what is 3 for 97 and 2 touchdowns in comparison to 35 points from a backup quarterback?
I'll tell you what.
Braxton Berrios being wide receiver 3 in championship week. When, by the way, we mentioned him on Fantasy Football Now. I mentioned him in the long shot segment. Mike Clay had him in his DFS lineup in that segment. I don't know.
So did he come out of nowhere then?
Well, that's my question. I don't know. I hate this category. Well,
you're the one that's arguing with it. I don't know why you keep arguing with it if you don't want to talk about
because
it.
Because I hate it. Okay. It's fine.
Can we move on?
Hate your heart. Let it out.
We've only done it for 6 years in a row, but I understand. He had 8 for 65 and 1 touchdown. That's 25 fantasy points.
You know, in the game no, shows, he also had a rushing touchdown. You're looking at just his receiver.
8 for 65 and 1 touchdown, 1 rushing touchdown, 25 fantasy points.
That's I will say
good.
This.
Can we move
Braxton
on?
Berrios was really good last week.
I will say this.
What do you got, Field?
I will say one person who saw Braxton Berrios coming, this is cool because he's the man. He's a huge fantasy guy and obviously one of the best people and analysts at our company, David Pollack, who the week after Chris Godwin got hurt, he texts me and he goes, I got no Brandon Cooks. That was the Armageddon week, right? No Brandon Cooks because all those players on COVID. I have no Chris Godwin. He goes, I'm going Braxton Berrios on Sunday. I need it to make my championship. I got a feeling. That game, he scores 103-yard touchdown. Plus, I think he had 8 catches for 80 yards. So, David Pollack, you the man. Go. Good luck to your dogs on Monday night. Let's keep things moving.
We're not going to be able to get through all of these. So, Matthew, I wanted to pick another one that you disagree with so that we can have a conversation about it because the other ones we'll just roll with. We're going to officially say who the nominees are tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to post them at Fantasy Focus. We'll reveal them on the show on Wednesday.
At Halsey, if you need it.
And then we will have them as a pinned tweet so that everybody can go, we want your input because your vote, the fan vote, is going to be a vote for all of these categories. Okay. But Matthew, I'd love to know some other areas where you are different from where the nominees
are. We have 14 minutes left. Why don't you just get mad for the next 14 minutes?
I love it.
I've already ranted about half the fantasy industry. And
I know. Like, keep it going at this point. You're on a bender. All right. So Daniel, I'm going to let you take the lead here and you discuss the topic that you wanted. You bring up the topic you want to discuss and I'll find a way to keep Matthew at ease.
Okay, let's talk about disappointing player of the year. I think this is a tough one. Okay. It's the opposite of the MVP. It's the player that returned the least amount of value based on the investment.
So I want to start with like the line in the sand that you must draw. I think there are two different categories. Not two different categories, but there are two sort of separate conversations. You have to decide whether you want to include this or not. Is that I think it's different when you have a guy that plays every week and just underperforms for 16, 17. Like, let's say it's 15 games played out of 17 total. Like, if he disappoints for 15 out of 17 or he plays at least 15 games and basically is a perpetual disappointment, that to me is different than a guy who gets drafted high and gets hurt and misses the entire season, right? Or comes close to it. So I think people probably know where this is leading us. Christian McCaffrey is a conversation. Christian McCaffrey was, again, the number one player in many people's estimations coming into this season. He missed 13 games last year. He will have missed 10 games this year. He was outstanding when he did play for the most part this year, but 10 games missed, and the player that you invested your number one overall pick in is very disappointing. Conversely, there are players like Saquon Barkley, who played every week, and mostly, I think, or at least in part because of the surroundings, did very little this year, right? He had a really tough season. He came back and let's see. So he had three games. He missed a few, but still mostly played this year.
Right.
Played a ton. There are other guys
like DK Metcalf. I mean,
I want Mike Clay on this show apologizing to me for Saquon.
Wow.
But you look at like DK Metcalf.
He
did.
He argued with me about Saquon many, many times.
Yeah. He did. Who won that one?
We love Mike Clay. Oh, Mike Clay is right a lot of the time. but not on Saquon Barkley.
So I think from that standpoint, Field, what you're saying, like, that's Allen Robinson to me.
Well, Robinson missed a decent amount of time this year because of injury. I think the players, like, that we should be having, so here are, I
mean, DK Metcalf has got to be up there.
DK Metcalf's got to be up there. And he was actually okay coming out of the gate. Like, the crazy part about DK Metcalf, because I was having this conversation with Daniel and Kyle before the show, was like yesterday, I think it was. It's like, you're going to find some players that at the end of the year, you're going to be like, oh my God, like, DK Metcalf had 12 touchdowns this year. Like, that's a big number. Now, when they're saturated into, like, you know, eight of them come in three games, it's part of the reason why this offseason, when everybody is referencing, hey, this guy was RB6 on the year last year, this guy, you know, finished with whatever number of fantasy points per game, it ranks this way, this spot amongst wide receivers, is you have to be careful there, right? Because, you know, if you have a month and a half dud stretch, then it's going to really change my perception of how the season actually went.
He was massively inconsistent. Yeah, a couple of spike weeks, but for a guy that was so consistent last year, he was massively inconsistent this year as well. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson had basically five different weeks outside the top 10 at quarterback, a guy that was drafted as a top four fantasy quarterback.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree on that one. That's a fair one.
And like he was both, he's injured down the stretch. And when he was healthy, you know, he won you week five.
Yep.
He was the number two quarterback in week five. And other than that, he was just sort of like, he had 1 week after that week five game as a top six quarterback with five different weeks where he shouldn't even have been a starter in a standard league.
I think when we're talking about, like, you know, Field, to your point about looking at overall points versus how they performed each week, we've been talking a lot about this recurring theme that fantasy is a weekly game. And you think about all the people who got cost playoffs because some of these performers who had higher total points did not perform consistently. They might have been the reason that you lost multiple weeks. And so that would factor into disappointment. I think when you have a player like Christian McCaffrey, yes, it's disappointing he was gone for the year, but once he was out, you knew you had to replace him for an extended period of time. Yeah. A lot of these guys, like Patrick Mahomes even, you were starting him, and sometimes that cost you the week, believe it or not. So I think when you look at it that way, your strategy might have revolved around a player who ended up costing you the week.
I think that's why Mahomes is a bigger disappointment to me than Lamar, just because he was taken as the 19th player overall in the second round. And it feels just like he cost you. There were weeks you just had to keep starting him because he's Patrick freaking Mahomes.
Like, it's Patrick Mahomes.
I can't not start him.
How can I not start him?
Exactly.
And then you might lose. Yeah.
To me, it sort of, I think it boils down to probably two running backs that were drafted. I think Saquon probably has the strongest case. Antonio, I know you guys are going to get mad at me about this one because he was hurt, but I'm just like, he still played. Antonio Gibson, like, fact of the matter is, I know it got a little bit better down the stretch, but relative to the forecast, which was that, like, he could be the breakout player of the year, like five rushing touchdowns, one 100-yard rushing game.
In terms of where he was drafted, AP, I don't know. I'm probably going to argue 12. About Antonio Gibson. See, I would argue Christian McCaffrey. The argument, like, Christian McCaffrey was drafted number one overall, and I know it's due to injury, but that was the argument about CMC, right? They were like, well, he's always good. He'd never been hurt prior to last year. He just got unlucky last year. This is a guy that's usually very, very healthy. We're ignoring all the injury concerns from last year, and we are literally drafting him with the number one overall pick. And then did he miss more games this year than he did last year? I think no, it's
13
close.
Last year, 10 this year.
Okay. Just seemed like it.
All that mattered, you know what, to be honest.
I know a lot of people that, and obviously this ended up changing, but for the first half of the season, everyone that drafted Christian McCaffrey number one overall was like, I could have had Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Let's be honest. There's only one player that matters in fantasy this year. Cooper Kupp. Because, like, as I'm looking through the rest of the awards that we have, there are a lot that we haven't gotten into, but, like, as an example, best value of the year, like, some of the names, not all the names, but some of the names include Cooper Kupp, who was drafted 46th overall on average. So he was a fifth round pick in a 10-team league, wide receiver 18, like, clearly the best wide receiver value amongst the top 18. But then you go further down the board, Deebo Samuel's wide receiver 40. Like, you could have had, what a lottery ticket that was, right? A 10th round pick for Deebo Samuel. That's awesome. Leonard Fournette, he was drafted in the back end of the 9th round. He was great until he got hurt as well, right? So there are a lot of good values this year. It's just a matter of how you define value.
Very, very, very true. But the answer is Cooper Kupp. The answer to almost every question, by the way, is my little Cooper Kupp.
Right.
Real quickly, because we're running out of time. I'll just read off what all the categories are. And so if you have a nominee for one of these categories, tweet at us, at Fantasy Focus, or put it into the chat if you're watching the live stream now. Or, yes, as you could say, you can tweet at Field Yates, at Stefania underscore ESPN, at Daniel Dopp, or at Justin Bieber. All right.
Lean into it. Let's go.
I love it. Proud of you.
So here are the categories. 1 week wonder.
Can you imagine if Justin Bieber looked at his Twitter feed and was like, yeah, why am I getting all these news? Right. Like,
game of the year.
Deontay Johnson? What?
Yeah, exactly. So game of the year, the best single games of the fantasy season. The Alex Smith Award for comeback player of the year. That's another category. Disappointing player of the year. We just discussed that.
The only
that
thing I'll say about the nominees is I thought it was a grand oversight that we did not have Ja'Marr Chase in our comeback player of the year award nominees.
Okay.
The dude came back from that. He couldn't even catch. He lost his hands in the preseason, yeah, and we don't have him on this list.
I will say this. We had this conversation as to whether or not Cordarrelle Patterson was going to be on this list, and what we decided is because last year, what Alex Smith did was so incredible. We're going to call it the Alex Smith comeback player
so
of the year.
So cool.
Yeah. So we're going to make it specifically injury related, coming back from injury. Whereas Cordarrelle Patterson, we're going to recognize him in a bunch of other places, but that is meant to be a returning from injury specific award.
Got it.
Correct. Disappointing player of the year, which we just discussed. Waiver wire wonder. Speaking of categories that Cordarrelle Patterson shows up in. Waiver wire wonder, you know, Patterson, Hunter Renfroe, Elijah Mitchell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, among the names that I think would show up there. Rookie of the year, a lot of competition there.
Yeah, good competition.
Especially given how well
a lot of there's a clear-cut winner, but good competition.
Yeah, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is just so ridiculous. But best value of the year, as you mentioned, Field. Breakout player of the year, and that also defends how do you define that. But for us, player that most overachieved expectations, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you could argue that's Cooper Kupp. You could also, you know, is that Jalen Hurts, for example, who was, you know, drafted as QB 11, finished as QB 7, had a number of weeks.
Does Debo Samuel fit into that? Or
sure.
Did we see enough from him before he got hurt last year that we don't feel like he counts as a breakout?
No, I mean, he was drafted below Ayuk, significantly below Ayuk. But, so, I mean, relative expectations coming into the season.
I don't think to me, breakout player of the year is like this talent and performance level that you didn't expect. We saw Debo be Debo before. He had injury history. That's what kept everyone from wanting to draft him was he came into last year's season late. It was an injury concern, not like a talent performance concern or workload concern. You thought that would be there if he could stay healthy. That was always after his name, if he could stay healthy.
I think that's fair, Stefania, although I think the counter argument to that is even when Debo was rolling good, he wasn't in the level that he is. He's now a top five wide receiver. He's an elite fantasy player.
Well,
and even when he was
plays another position besides the one that they were drafted, I mean, right, then maybe okay.
But I'm just saying that even if you had drafted Debo Samuel based on production from 2 years ago, his rookie year, you're like, I think I'm getting that Debo. He still, I think, from that level, broke out to another level. Yeah. Debo Samuel raised his game this year from a fantasy production standpoint in a way that we'd never seen previously.
I think that's
like
fair.
He broke out as a wide receiver one. And I know there's a positional argument there. But anyway, and then, of course, fantasy MVP as well. Fantasy MVP and playoff MVP. Playoff MVP, of course, the most valuable player in weeks 14 through 17. But, yeah, so anyway, if you have suggestions for any of those categories, we'd love to hear from them.
Great. Good stuff there. We got a couple minutes left, Daniel. And what I'm just thinking about is, so the schedule for the rest of this week, we have a show Wednesday.
Correct.
I believe it's Matthew and I.
It is going to be you and Matthew, and we're going to talk some week 18 rankings, and we're going to officially reveal these categories so that people can vote on them on the show tomorrow.
Yep. Are we doing week 18 rankings, or are we doing the 2022 rankings, or both?
Sorry, we're going to do a little bit of week 18 rankings just so that we can talk about it for people. And then we're also going to look ahead at Matthew's column. He wrote a column talking about his top 50 players for 2022.
Yeah. So then Thursday, CSS DFS podcast is going to be the normal show. So
correct.
Daniel and obviously Mike Clay and Smiz. Friday will be our preview show, as much as we can preview, with understanding that some teams may not play all their guys, et cetera. And then Monday will be our award show. So we got about, I don't know, 90 seconds here. So time's going to get...
Worth noting, Field, is that... yesterday on the Manning cast, they were talking to Aaron Rodgers about whether he was going to play in Detroit. Well, you're sitting out and he's just like, not if I have anything to say about it.
And LaFleur said something similar yesterday, too.
Yeah, so it looks
we'll see.
Like,
I think their Monday feelings could be different than their Friday feelings, so we shall find out. But is anytime we have like a little bit of time on this show, I'm just going to start saying some thank yous because we got a lot of people that make the show go. And man, oh man, is it a lot of work to get the show on the air every single day. And so I'm not going to get through the entire list, but we have had fantastic directors. Let's start with the directors today. A little while ago, we talked about award-winning Lisa, one of our great directors who does the show. I would say probably the majority of the shows are in Lisa's hands. She is...
Emmy Award winner.
A delight. Yeah. The fact that she puts up with our nonsense, incredible patience, not surprised.
She's the best.
At all. Brian often fills in as well when we don't have Lisa. Brian is usually our midweek producer.
Correct.
Brian, huge Eagles fan. Love when Brian is available for us. Always has an even-keeled temperament, except for when we talk about Zach Gertz. Gets him a little fired up. Otherwise, we have an incredible directorial staff. And this studio has, like, it's not a huge studio, but there are a lot of different elements you can weave into there. So shout out to our directorial staff. We'll make sure that we get everybody some love during this week because truly, we could not say enough thank yous for all the work that everybody that goes that is part of the show does. It is a joy and an honor to be a part of this team. And we thank everybody who makes it happen because it's a lot more than just showing up talking about fake football all the time.
Yeah, it is.
Not much more than that for me. But yes, everyone else puts in a lot of hard work. I mostly just kind of roll in, talk about fake football, and leave. But everyone else puts in a lot of thought, effort, and time.
It comes as a shock to the audience,
to make it look, you know, as professional as they can, given what little they have to work with, at least in me.
For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel Ironfield, we're back on Wednesday. Just a few more shows. Let's celebrate those championships if you won last night. Go, Stefania.
Congratulations.
That's right.
Let's go. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
Yes, do it.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.